Senator, how do you want to be remembered?
Well, working for the good. We worked around the clock. Coming in as governor, we didn't wait around with all of these formalities and trying to and do this and do that. We knew in the first get-go that they weren't going to invest in South Carolina unless we had a balanced budget, and not only that, that it continued to be balanced, and we built.
And that, dear leaders, was the voice of the late, great Senator Fritz Hollings. It didn't matter which side of the aisle you were on or which political faction you were in. If you were a South Carolinian, Fritz Hollings was your friend. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Gavin, I've heard about Fritz Hollings, but this episode is going to prove to you that there's no such thing as hearing too much about this legendary South Carolinian. Just listening to this podcast, you're interacting with Fritz Hollings' legacy. More on that later in the pod. To give you some perspective on just how we put this episode together, I spent days watching boxes of VHS tapes, listening to bad, crummy audio, some of which you'll hear too, and going through grainy old photographs that I had to wear white gloves to touch. And I could only take notes with pencils, people. It was a library, but now I love pencils. But I digress. This is not about me. So let's get into it and start at the very beginning. Hollings was born on New Year's Day in 1922 and grew up a child of the Great Depression.
I grew up above Broad, around Mitchell Playground. Even though it was depression and everything else like that, we all worked some. I was one of five children. We got a good public school education, and that's why you find me almost a zealot to try to bring it back to the level of proficiency.
He graduated the Citadel and served as an officer in the Army during World War II in North Africa and Europe. After returning home, he went to law school at USC, served as a state representative, lieutenant governor, and then was elected governor at age 36. Hollings served as governor from 1959 to 1963, and he helped facilitate the peaceful integration of Clemson University with the admission of its first black student, Harvey Gantt. And here's Democratic Representative Jim Clyburn, who's now the current majority whip in the House, recounting Hollings' civil rights legacy from Hollings' retirement video.
Hollings' position was that we had run out of courts and that Clemson would be integrated and it would be done peacefully. And that set the tone for the entire state, and it was accomplished peacefully.
Author David Ballantyne, a Fritz Hollings historian, elaborates on Hollings being a common-sense, realistic South Carolina Democrat, specifically during the Civil Rights era.
That's the way Hollings tried to and successfully presented himself as a politician. He made these troubled and small accommodations in the 1960s and early 70s on race with African-American constituents, but he did emerge as a fairly moderate politician by the early 1970s as a forerunner of politicians like Jimmy Carter. Although he wasn't a New Deal liberal, he didn't see government doing huge things. He thought that government had a role to play in improving people's lives.
Hollings also helped John F. Kennedy win South Carolina and other southern states in 1960.
A great leader for a great nation, I am most pleased to present your next president, Senator John F. Kennedy.
Senator Ted Kennedy noted the weight and the impact that Hollings' endorsement had on helping his brother win.
Fritz Hollings took an extraordinary, bold, and courageous action in the 1960 campaign by supporting John Kennedy for the presidency, a Catholic, at a time when it was not really a politically popular thing for him to do.
Two of his biggest accomplishments as governor was the creation of the South Carolina Educational Television Network and the creation of the technical school system. Yes, ETV. Remember how I said you'd be interacting with his legacy? Well, AT and I wouldn't have jobs without him, and there would be no lead. So for that, we give this special whoop crack to you, Senator. And these technical schools played a huge role to help create and train a workforce and bring business to the state that now includes companies like Boeing and Volvo. The tech schools were also crucial for his successful re-election bids to the Senate.
When I became governor, the problem was to get jobs for the people. Today, the task is to get people for the jobs. For this, we must be skilled. We must prepare our people for the higher paying jobs here in these Senates and extend vocational training to the high school.
Elect Hollings to the United States Senate.
But it was a tough sell creating the technical school system. And I can't stress to you enough how difficult it was to get this bill through the statehouse, Leaders, if you listen to us regularly, you know how hard it is sometimes. I mean, we do episodes on how long it takes things to get through up here. Heck, he was pushing for a huge addition to the education system. And that, my friends, required some brown liquor diplomacy.
Brown liquor.
The true story is that I was at a Lutheran convention in Dayton, Ohio, with Reverend Heywood Epting. And we came out at about 11 o'clock at night from all the prayer session. And across the street from that particular church was a technical training, but it looked to me like an industry. And I said, well, let's go over here, Heywood, and see what they're manufacturing. And I went over there, and it was a technical training. Down home, we don't have anything like this. And so I said, if I ever can get in a position as governor or whatever, I'm going to get me this technical training. And we had trouble getting it through to the House. Now, old Sol Blatt, the speaker, he was with me. But John Carlson, he thought he could fix that vote, but I fixed the vote in the House. And they didn't expect, I found out later, to even pass it in the House because it didn't even have a term of office. And it got over to the Senate. I knew with John West that we had a sure shot. It was a winner and it was going to pass. And then walks Mahler Krebs and he says, your technical training is dead. They only got the deficiency appropriation bill tomorrow morning. They're in free conference now, and they'll vote on it tomorrow morning, and that'll be the end of this. I said, give me a bottle. And so I got a bottle of bourbon, and I went up that back elevator right into the third floor above the lieutenant governor's office, and I put the bottle on the table. I said, let's have a little touch, Colonel. He said, oh, my, my, my. He said, you don't want that, the trading schools. We closed down the area trade schools and those training schools. That's for the dummies. I said, oh, no. I said, Colonel, it's for the skills. And I said, I promised, and I went into Jeffrey's Chuck and Jacob's Manufacturing. I think Jacob's Manufacturing is still up there in Anderson County. And he finally hemmed and hawed, and after a couple of drinks, he said, well, you can't make the governor a liar. How much do you want? I said, $368,000. He said, we'll give you $250,000, and that's all you get, and don't start a program. I know what you're trying to do, and I'm going to cut you off. You're not going to do it, but I'll give you that to make you honest. We can't make the governor a liar, and that's how it got started.
That's a crazy story. Do you think any bourbon was left over after that night? But seriously, that's a fun look at how two people can disagree, but still work together and get things done. Classic Fritz. The argument could be made that we wouldn't have such a thriving economy in our state without the system he pioneered. So here's where we pivot, from Governor Hollings to Senator Hollings. In 1966, he won a special election for the remaining 2 years of Senator Owen Johnson's seat, which was vacated when Johnson died in 1965. He would go on to be elected 6 more times by the people of South Carolina. One of his first initiatives was fighting poverty. He went on what they called hunger tours of high-poverty areas in South Carolina that drew national attention. In 1970, he authored the book The Case Against Hunger, and he helped get food stamps to South Carolinians, and also co-authored legislation creating the Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, feeding program in 1972.
Well, it is shocking that in 1968 it's still this bad. We're the lowest per capita income state, second from the bottom. It's not a surprise at all that we do have poverty, but the housing conditions here are no less than shocking.
In addition to the WIC program, Hollings played a huge role in the creation of NOAA. Yeah, that NOAA, the ones we rely on during hurricanes. And he also applied practical conservationism in passing key environmental bills, such as the Coastal Zone Management Act of 1972 and the Ocean Dumping Act of 1972. He later helped with the passage of the Graham-Rudman-Hollings Act of 1985 to balance the budget. More on that in a moment. And also the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And leaders, if you're saying to yourself, this guy sounds unorthodox, don't worry, you're not alone. Washington had a very hard time trying to figure him out. Here's ETV's Jim Welch from a 1977 profile on Hollings. Editor's note, enjoy the music.
The result was always the same. He fits no established political label. But the unpredictability of Ernest F. Fritz Hollings is not a matter of inattention or carelessness. It has developed from his serious consideration of each issue before him, one by one, merit by merit. Perhaps the dilemma of Hollings' observers is expressed by Ralph Nader's Citizens' Look at Congress. In matters of conservation and consumer interests, it says, the South Carolinian's mixed record shows he adheres to neither one side nor the other, but rather judges each issue as it comes and votes to the occasional disappointment of advocates of either side.
He was first married in 1946 and had four children. He divorced and married his second wife, Peetzy, in 1971. She was always by his side. She'd drive him to Capitol Hill and travel with him frequently. She was also there when he made a big announcement in 1983.
Senator Ernest Hollings of South Carolina is tall, white-haired, shoulders back, chin up, a bit of a Southern accent, and now, in addition to all of that, he is a candidate for president.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States.
But the road to the White House ended for Hollings in New Hampshire. Don Fowler, a political scientist and former chairman of the Democratic National Committee, explains why in a 1991 interview.
Frankly, I think part of it was that he was a Southerner, and I think that hurt. I don't think it was controlling, but it certainly wasn't an advantage. Secondly, he is a maverick. In the midst of that campaign, there were seven or eight people running, and everybody had their solutions for this and that, and he says, why don't we freeze the budget? And that was one of the principal things that he advocated.
Back in Washington, Hollings, a strong fiscal conservative, worked with Republicans Phil Graham and Warren Rudman to craft the Graham-Rudman-Hollings Act to balance the budget, which President Ronald Reagan later signed. Yet another example of Hollings' bipartisanship and willingness to get things done. Listen to what self-described libertarian Republican Alan Greenspan, the former Fed chair, said about Hollings' fiscal hawkishness.
I think the senator has been a powerful voice for fiscal sanity in this country. And regrettably, he's one of very few who have consistently held that position over the years. Remember that he was a co-author of the Graham-Rudman-Hollings Deficit Reduction Act of 1985. That set the stage for a whole series of changes which led to the rules in later budget documents, which I suspect were a powerful force in reducing the deficit and eventually creating a surplus.
Can you even imagine a libertarian Republican saying such things about a Democrat in 2019? Different days. And here's our second pivot into Hollings' third act. In 2003, Fritz Hollings announced that he would not be seeking re-election to the U.S. Senate. In 2005, he stepped down to take care of Peetzy, his wife, who was in poor health. And this is not just a normal retirement. This man was an institution, remember? Like I said, he won seven elections, 38 years in the Senate. You heard from Alan Greenspan and Ted Kennedy, and there were so many others who came out and spoke so kindly and fondly of him in his retirement. Here's the late Tim Russert with Hollings and other guests on Meet the Press once the news of his retirement came out.
I have heard you use a phrase for the last 20 years, the ox is in the ditch. What does that mean?
When the ox gets there, he can't get itself out, and neither can the driver of the wagon. Like us all here, we've got to pull together to really correct what's wrong.
I finally got an answer. Senator Hollings.
The ox is in the ditch right now.
And with your leaving the U.S. Senate, Senator, the Senate is going to be in the ditch.
And one would think that'd be the end of the story, but it isn't. In 2015, Hollings had his name removed from the federal courthouse in Charleston in favor of the late Judge J. Waties Waring, who made several key civil rights rulings. Hollings himself lobbied to have the building renamed. This is not a normal thing, people. People don't do this. You get a building with your name on it, you don't rename it. Congressman Jim Clyburn said he had never heard of something so selfless. It required an act of Congress. And the General Services Administration, which oversees federal buildings, said they knew of no other such renamings. Classic Fritz. A ceremony was held in April 2017 to unveil a statue of Hollings near the courthouse, and he gave his last public remarks.
I'm 95 and over the hill, and I've never been overwhelmed, but you got to be listening to these, the governor and the mayors, Tecklenburg and Riley, and all the speakers.
Ernest Frederick Fritz Hollings died April 6, 2019, at age 97. Senator Lindsey Graham recently spoke on the Senate floor about Hollings' legacy.
Nobody enjoyed their job more than Senator Hollings. Nobody was ever better at it. And when it came to South Carolina, Senator Hollings was able to move mountains. He was the chairman of the Commerce Committee, the Budget Committee. He's one of the great environmentalists of our time. The Ace Basin in South Carolina is a beautiful place along the coast where three major rivers come together. And it was Senator Hollings who established that now and forever to be preserved. He was always trying to keep our fiscal house in order. He was a champion of the military, being a World War II veteran himself. And when it comes to having a distinguished career in the Senate, Fritz Hollings was at the top of anybody's list. He was a lawyer. He loved the law. He was my friend. And the Senator Hollings way was to fight for your causes, work across the aisle, know what you're talking about before you speak, and try to do it with good humor. What more can you say? He was always fighting for his causes. He loved his state. He delivered for the people of South Carolina.
If we had someone tuning in right now, they might think it's strange hearing a Republican senator speak so fondly of a Democratic senator. But I'd hope, now that we're at the end of this journey, that you would realize it's not so strange. This was a man who stuck his neck out for what he thought was right and went outside the box to find a solution that people maybe weren't always ready for. This was a man who fought for peaceful desegregation of schools, endorsed a Catholic presidential candidate, created a technical school system, fought poverty, was an environmentalist, and so much more. And if you think these things sound normal today, it's because Fritz Hollings helped make them normal. Think back to that key word Don Fowler used to describe him, a maverick, a term that people wear as a badge of honor today trying to get your vote. Hollings was a sharp-tongued and quick-witted man who was considered a junior senator until he was 80 years old. But that didn't matter, because it didn't prevent him from working. Fritz Hollings was an uncommon man representing the common people of South Carolina. I want to give a huge shout out to the Hollings Special Collections Library at the University of South Carolina. That's where I gathered the video and photographs for this project and others. Thank you very much. Thank you. The South Carolina Lead is one of many ways SCETV wants to help keep you informed. Check out the latest news and live streams on scetv.org. Listen to our coverage on South Carolina Public Radio and watch This Week in South Carolina, a show where I talk with the newsmakers of the week on SCETV, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. All of that, this podcast, and more is available on SCETV's super easy-to-use app and southcarolinapublicradio.org. Subscribe to us, and we'll have a new episode for you every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts. Search us easily on your Android, the NPR One app, or wherever you find podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at @scleadpod, and you can see photos from the studio, on assignment, and of course, our dank memes. We're also on Twitter with the same handle at @scleadpod. We have swag, sticker swag that is, so send us a direct message on Twitter or Instagram with your address, and we'll send some your way. Email questions, comments, or your gripes to scleade@scetv.org. The South Carolina Lead is produced in partnership with South Carolina ETV and South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire, who helped a lot on this episode, everybody. Sean Birch is our supervising producer. Tom Posey is our executive producer. This episode was recorded and produced in South Carolina Public Radio's studios here in Columbia on April 11th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for listening. Secret message. Have a brown liquor drink for Fritz.
Brown liquor.